rights, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to all new episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. And I was just telling my guests, the podcast has been on hold for a little bit because I've been so busy with everything else, but it's time to get back into it, and I can't think of anyone better. And our guest tonight, Parker Desjardins of Forest Hill, the newest member of the 2,000 Point Club. Parker, what is going on, man? How do you celebrate 2,000 points? What's that like? What's that celebration like?
It's been awesome. Just celebrating with my teammates and my family. You know, it's cool to be part of a group of less than 20 high school basketball players to achieve 2,000 points. It's crazy.
Yes, I was just reading the article. So believed to be the 19th player, male and or female. So it's a pretty small club. And this goes back, what, like 60, 70 years of Maine high school basketball. So like, has it sunk in? Like, is it all like kind of kicking in? Like, wow, like I've done something pretty special here.
Not yet. I mean, I'm still just focusing on the season and the upcoming COVID Cup tournament thing we got going on. So, I mean, I haven't really thought about it too much.
Yeah, so you still got some games to go here, but we were just talking before we started recording here. Like, came down to the last game of the regular season, and I'm guessing coming into the year, right, it was something you were aware of. You must have thought that, hey, it's probably within reach. I might have to really ball out, but I think I could probably get there. Was that the thinking coming into the season?
Yeah, the start of the season, I knew it was achievable. I didn't know like if I'd be able to get it, but the first game of the year, I came out and I scored a lot of points. So I mean, then from there on, I kept scoring 40 plus. So I was like, yeah, I can really do this. It's achievable, and thankfully, I was able to get it done.
Yeah, and the points just kept coming in bunches. I remember seeing the first game. I remember like seeing the first game score, and I was like, damn, this kid went off for 40 in the first game. And yeah. It was like the second game, 40 plus, third game, 40 plus, fourth game, 40 plus. So the season wound up being shortened, right? So I'm guessing like after that season ended, you're probably like, all right, I got a full 18 game schedule plus playoffs. So it should be 22 games, give or take, to try to get to 2,000, but didn't work out that way. You only play what, like 12 games this season, right?
Yeah, we had 11.
11.
One of the schools that we're supposed to play, Mount Abram, they got a COVID case or something like that happened. So our game got pushed back the end of the season. So we weren't able to get two games with them, which kind of stunk. But
yeah, so 2,000 points is incredible, but the point totals you've been putting up this season is incredible as well. So for those that may not be too familiar with Class D Western Maine Hoops or Southern Maine Hoops, sorry, Southern Maine.
Yeah, Southern Maine, yeah.
You know, you might not be in all the papers, like the scores might not always be there, but let's go ahead and just shed some light. For those that haven't been paying attention, just reached 2,000, but what's the season stat line? What did the season final stat line come out for you?
I averaged 43 a game, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists.
And that's without playing fourth quarters pretty much, right? Like how many fourth quarters did you play this year?
3, I believe.
Yeah. So it's incredible. Just the amount of points. And the other part too, is like, it's one thing. Cause I've seen some people talk like, oh, it's Class D, it's this and that, but it's still putting in 43 points a game, which that's not easy. That takes energy. You gotta be making shots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What has been the key to you this year? I mean, I watched a ton of footage when I put together the video. So I probably watched like 6 or 7 games, but what's been the key for you? Because it takes energy to score buckets. And you're doing 43 points a game in 3 quarters. Like, what's been the key for you? What led to all this? How comes all this success?
I wanted to come out every game hungry, because I want to keep the foot in the gas every game. Most teams they play either boxing one or two guys on me sometimes, so it's tough. And my teammates, they did a great job helping me get the ball and just finding me for open looks. So, I mean, just trying to play as hard as I can every time. And I have great teammates. So I was able to get it done.
Yeah. And part of a great, great program. Right. So another thing I did a little while back is I went back and I looked at all the different classes and kind of did like a decade in review. And Forest Hills was probably the Class D program of the decade. So it's a very successful program. So I want to shed some light on some Class D basketball, some Southern Maine Class D basketball, and the Forest Hills program here. So, I mean, obviously, before you, there was a ton of success. They've had a ton of success with you. What is it about the Forest Hill programs? How would you describe the program itself and why you guys have been so successful?
Well, it all starts with our coach, Anthony Amrow. He's been doing it for 30 years now. He's a great coach. He knows coming from a small school, we have 45 kids in high school this year. He looks at the kids from when they're young and really encourages them to work on their game. And I think that helps because these kids, they see Coach Yamrell like talking to them, and they want to work on their game so they can play, be good in the high school level. And the kids, since Evan Worcester was when it really started, and he in 2013 they won the state championship, first one in Forest Hills history for boys. So that's when it all like kind of came together. And from then on, like my friends and I, we watched them and wanted to be just like them. So we're playing in the summertime and just trying to get better as much as we can so we can bring home state championships to Jackman.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said Jackman. So we got to talk about this because Jackman itself, it's out there. I always get shit being from Fort Kent. People say, oh, well, like, what the hell is up there? Like, you're from all the way up there. But Jackman is out there too, right? So explain Jackman for the folks that don't know it. You might, if you watch the news in the morning and they show the weather, you'll see Jackman just up there kind of all by itself. So tell us about the community of Jackman.
So Jackman, it's a small town, obviously. I think we have 800 people, year-round residents. It's a hunting, snowmobiling, fishing town. It's an hour and a half from the nearest Walmart in Skowhegan, where you go to Canada. It's 20 minutes from the Canadian border.
Yeah.
So, we're remote. And it's a travel to get anywhere. But, I love it. It's tight-knit community. Everybody knows each other. Like with basketball, everybody, I go to the store and everybody's talking to me about the game the night before. It's a great town, great place to grow up.
I find it kind of odd though how Jackman is considered Southern Maine. Like, you guys are part of Southern Maine. I don't know how that works out because you guys are pretty far north.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
But you mentioned just a small town, so you know, and I was wondering how this kind of plays into just the community support, because I'm guessing is Friday nights packed gym, all 800 people come out to the high school and just I'm guessing just really support the teams, right?
Oh yeah, we have a small gym, so whenever there's a game, everybody in the town's packed in there. We have the stage filled with people, like it's crazy. We have like a rival game against either Valley or Greenville. It gets loud in there. I mean, it's a great environment. That's something that we're missing this year a lot. Just that energy that the people bring. It's crazy.
So one of the things about being grown up in a small town is maybe not having the same access to resources or competition or gym space that people in bigger towns have, but also being remote, that means you got to travel to go to these places. So like, how did you develop your game? Were you traveling places in summertime, like going to camps or what's been your progression as a player? Because being out in Jackman, it could present some challenges just with the location and stuff like that, but you turned out all right. So what was your journey to get from being a kid in Jackman to being a 2000 point scorer?
So I'd say it all started with my parents when I was in third grade. They had like this little program for, it was like third, fourth, and fifth graders. So we'd play like schools close to us, like Greenville, Bingham, and Madison. We'd just play games and have a little bit of practices. And that's how I got, I feel like I gained a love for basketball. And the guys that I played with, we kind of bonded. And that's the 2019 state championship team right there. That's how we started playing. But then when I was seventh grade, my parents saw this ad or something for a basketball program in Waterville. That was the Nation basketball with Woody. So we went there seventh grade, and I played with him till ninth grade. I feel like that's where I grew as a player. He gave me the skills needed, and I just grew as a player and got better. Then from there on, just traveled every weekend down to Portland, all over the place, just playing basketball.
That's some serious mileage right there.
Oh, yeah. Hours in the car. Portland's 3 hours away. Boston's five. So my dad, my brother, and I, man, we got some hours in the car.
When you were coming into high school, because I'm guessing, you know, you mentioned the 2013 team was kind of like that team that kind of inspired you and you wanted to be like that. Coming into high school, what'd you have for actual goals? Because it's one thing to say, you know, I want to do that too when I get there, but I'm guessing you set some more specific ones besides just wanting to win a state championship. So what were some of the goals you set coming into high school?
My eighth grade year, I want to make an immediate impact on the team. The year before, they struggled. It was like, I think they were 7-11. So I want to come in and make an immediate impact. But, other than that, I mean, I want to be a 1,000-point scorer and, win a state championship. I just want to push myself in the court at all times. And yeah, I mean, do everything I could to win some state championships. That's my major goal.
And you mentioned some of the rival schools you guys have, and that's usually probably the teams you have to run through in order to get to a state championship, right? So
yeah.
Class D basketball, you think Valley, you think Forest Hills, especially over the last decade. So what were those games like? What are those regular season games like? Because not only are they probably close in proximity, but when it comes time to getting out of West or the Southern Maine to get to the state title game, you got to run through them. So what were those rivalry games like?
Oh, they're always tough. It's always a close game. Greenville and Bingham, they're our biggest rivals, and the crowds, they get crazy, especially at the Civic Center. It's crazy how many people show up. Small towns, the whole place will be packed. I mean, it's crazy. But I mean, you know those guys, you've grown up with them from other teams, so it's like fun playing against them because you know their game so well. So, I mean, it's fun. It's fun playing against them. It's fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it more fun because you guys probably grew up together? Or is it more like intense, ugly, heated rivalry?
It gets heated. There's some trash talking going on. Yeah.
Who's got the toughest crowd? Like, what's the toughest gym to go into? Like, who's got nasty fans?
I'd say Valley. Yeah. You know, they got some, those fans like to talk. Yeah.
And you guys, I mean, I don't know if you guys have caught up to them in overall state championships because they've won, you know, they won a ton back in the early 2000s. They won
six in a row back in the 2000s. It was crazy.
So who's the better program? Like right now, like can Forest Hills claim like, hey, like we're the Class D school, Valley. You might have had your run, but it's Forest Hills time now. Can you claim that?
Oh, I mean, the past 10 years, we've been a way better program than them, but back in the 2000s, I mean, they killed it. They won 101 straight games. Like, that's just crazy. I feel like if we had a chance to play this year, we would have been in, like, competing for a state championship, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like this year, the next year, my brother and the guys coming back, it'd be another year competing for a state championship. So, I mean, we could have caught up to them. But, I mean, there's still time. There's still time.
So you mentioned you could have went for a state championship this year. You guys are coming off a state championship, right? Or is it two?
Yeah.
You guys coming off two straight?
Two straight, back to back.
Yeah, so we'll talk about how much it hurts not being able to go for a third straight here. But the first one, what do you remember most about the first state championship run?
Oh, I remember the group of guys that we had. We've been playing together for so long. So we just knew where each other were going to be on the court. We were just so... like a well-oiled machine. We played so well together. And I remember going into the state championship against Skank in the Bangor Auditorium. It was like such a different atmosphere than Augusta. Like, it's so much darker in there. It's so weird. we came in like, wow, this place is different.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got it done. Skank was a great team and we were able to get it done. A great feeling. It was like all that work we put in throughout the years, it paid off.
How did Forest Hills and the town of Jackman celebrate a state championship? What did they do for you guys?
Oh, we got home. They had a parade for us. They had fireworks. Oh, yeah. They were going crazy.
So that was the school's second state championship, right? 2013, and then you guys in 2018 or 2019?
2013 they won, 2015, and 2019, 2020.
Okay, so by the time you won your first, Jackman was kind of like a little bit spoiled. That was their third one of the decade.
Yeah.
They still treated you good? It's still a good little celebration?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're good to us.
Okay. What fueled you to come back? Because it's one thing to get to the top. It's another thing is to stay on top. And, I mean, you won a state championship as a sophomore, so obviously you had a couple of cracks at it. What was the biggest difference for you being the hunted, being the defending champion, and maybe getting, like, other teams' best shots? What do you remember most from that second run to a state championship?
That next year, it was a totally different team. We lost three key seniors, so – we just looked at it as like totally different. Last year's team won states. This year's team hadn't won states. So we were still hungry. We wanted to go back and do it again. And it took us a while. In the summertime, we had to like find our identity. And we play our coach Amrow, he constructs like a big summertime schedule. We play 40 games at Tops, and so yeah, we figured out how to play together, and once we got into the regular season, we were rolling. We were ready to go, and we rolled through that Southern Maine tournament, and then we got to states against Machias. It was in Augusta, so it was like our home. It didn't feel any different. I mean, we were ready to go, and we came out strong, and we were able to get that done again.
So I'm guessing just from our brief conversation we've had right now, you're a bigger fan of the Augusta Civic Center than the Insurance Center in Bangor, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What is it? Is it the lighting? Is it the, I don't know, the acoustics might be a little bit better, because in Bangor it does seem a little bit more quiet. Like it seems like it's a big crowd, but I don't know if it's just because they're further away from the court or what, but it doesn't seem like it gets as loud in Bangor as Augusta.
Oh, it's like Augusta's, it's so light and open. And you go to Bangor, it's like the only lights are on the court, and then the crowd's just like black. It's so weird. I don't know. But this year is going to be in Bangor, so I was kind of like thinking about it in my head, you know, like what it's going to be like again. But unfortunately, we didn't have the opportunity to do that. So,
What can you say about being a two-time defending state championship or state champion? There's not a lot of people that can claim they're a state championship. You got two. What's that feeling like? And does one mean more than the other? I'm guessing they're just equally as important, as awesome. But was one maybe like a little bit more sweet to get to? Was it more fun the first one? Was it more sweet the second time, getting back there and doing it again? What are your thoughts on the two?
I'd say the first one was like more special. It felt like during the time, because we, a team, we'd never won a playoff game. My freshman year, we lost in the first round. So like none of those guys ever won a playoff game. So it was like one game at a time. We knew that every game was gonna be tough and anything could happen in the playoffs. So we just took it one game at a time. And once we got to the States, it was like, holy cow, we can do this. And it was crazy to be able to get that done. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were so exhausted after the bus ride home. We were like, I mean, our coaches were going crazy. We're just in the back like, dang, I want to go home and go to bed. You know, we were so tired. Just the whole run's exhausting.
I'm guessing you guys play most of the teams you run into in the playoffs in the Southern Maine tournament. You probably play in the regular season, right? There's probably not too many surprises in terms of teams that you match up with in the playoffs. But once you get to states, you're playing a team for the first time that you haven't seen all year and stuff like that. Did you ever get shit from the other team? Like, man, this kid Parker is from Jack, man. This, that. Like, did you ever hear from the teams you matched up with in the state championship? Maybe coming at you like, oh, this kid's not that good. He's from Jackman. And then just going out there and proving him wrong.
I mean, those guys didn't really say too much. I don't know. They never really talked any trash.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew. They knew that we were undefeated both years. I don't think they wanted to talk any trash.
Yeah. One of the cool things about winning states, making D tournament runs, stuff like this, is you get TV time, right? You get interviewed and stuff like that. Are you a good interviewee? Like when they ask you questions, do you actually give like meaningful answers, or do you just give generic answers? Because a lot of times you see that the high school kids, when they get interviewed after states, they look nervous. They don't know what to say. And they just say like something very empty. Like when you were getting asked questions post game, like were you giving like some serious thought, like some legit answers, like giving them like real stuff, or was it a lot of empty stuff?
I was trying to give them real stuff. I mean, I was nervous. I was tired from the game.
Yeah.
But I was trying to just like be myself and give the most real answer I could. I mean, getting interviewed when you're like after game 16, 17 years old. It's tough, but
yeah, I can imagine. A lot of us probably dream growing up in the driveway, 3-2-1, hitting the game winning buzzer beater to win a state championship, stuff like that. Were you the type to practice how you would answer questions post game? Like, do you talk to yourself growing up? Did you like practice what you would say after winning a state championship? Did you have it kind of rehearsed?
No, I never. I mean, I was in the backyard going through those like 3-2-1, you know, those big shots. I always used to do that. My brother and I used to play 1-on-1, and oh yeah, it gets competitive doing that. But
speaking of the driveway, you know, I'll hear and I'll read a lot of times kids saying, oh yeah, you know, I used to play in the driveway growing up outside, actually shovel the driveway, shoot up there when it's 20 degrees out, stuff like that. They, some of them probably just say it to say it. I don't know if kids are actually out there shooting outside when it's 20 degrees, shoveling off snow off the driveway and stuff like that. Were you one of those kids?
We've been lucky. So in our garage, we have a basketball hoop and a shooting machine. So I haven't had to go outside and shovel. So we in our garage, a heated garage, we had a shooting machine, a basketball hoop mounted to the wall. So every night my brother and I will go and we'll shoot in the shooting machine after placing 1-on-1. But now we've been spoiled.
So that's the key to getting 2,000 points is get a shooting machine, get a heated garage, right? And just
that's
get
right.
it up year round.
Get shots up, just reps on shots reps up, on reps. Up.
Yeah. So two state championships, COVID hits. We don't know what's going to happen coming into this year. And you find out there's not going to be playoffs. It's going to be a shortened season.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts? I mean, it's, you know, it sucks to have anything taken away from you because high school's so short and stuff like that. But the opportunity to go for a third straight state championship, being your senior year, how hard did you take it? Or were you just happy to be able to play games? Like, what was your thought process once you found out how it was going to actually play out this year?
I was bummed out because, I mean, we worked so hard over that summer. And I mean, just my whole career at Forest Hills to win state championships. And when we found out that we weren't going to be able to have one, the whole team was bummed out because we felt like we were good enough to get back there and compete for another one. But we're just grateful that we're able to play. And I mean, in these uncertain times, I mean, it is what it is, right?
That's right. It is what it is, unfortunately. But there is going to be a COVID Cup. They're calling it right.
Yeah.
The season started off, right? You lose your first game.
Yeah.
Thinking like, oh shit! Like, we're not supposed to lose. What's going on here? Like, what was the thought process after losing your first game of the year? Because even though you know there is no playoffs and stuff like that, you're not trying to lose, right? So,
yeah.
What was the thought process like losing that first game?
Oh man, I mean, it was a terrible game on our part. We weren't ready to play. Like we had 3 or 4 scrimmages before our first game, and we didn't this year. So we're kind of like a little rusty. You could tell right away.
Yeah.
But after that, I mean, it made us hungry. I mean, normally the past couple of years we're just running through the teams, like, you know what I mean? But this year against Madison, big Class C school, don't normally play them. It made our guys hungry. All of us. We wanted to prove everybody that we're not just a Class D team. You know, we can compete with these bigger schools. So that loss really made us want to give it every night. And from that, you can see now we've won the last 10 straight games since losing that first one. So I think it's helped.
And what's this COVID Cup look like? So it's going to be C and D, right? And it's just Central Maine, I think, right?
Yeah. So it's C and D. And I guess there's two Class B teams, Spruce Mountain and Waterville, joining as well. It'll be like Winthrop, Madison, Mount Abram, Halldale, Monmouth, then Valley, Temple, and us. So there'll be some Class B schools, some Class C, and Class D. It'll be tough.
How's it going to work? Is it just like higher seed home game type thing, or is it going to be a neutral location?
That's going to be the higher seed home game.
Do you know who you guys are playing already?
Right now, I think we're going to play Mount Abram in the first round. We're the 3 seed. So we play – if Mount Abram beats, I think, Monmouth or somebody like that, which we're expecting Mount Abram to win – And so we're the three seed. You got Winthrop's number one, Madison's two, and then we're three.
So it might not be a state championship tournament going on, but it's got to be pretty cool knowing that you're gonna play some schools you don't normally play, and we're playing up against some bigger schools and just a different look, right? That's got to be somewhat cool at least.
Yeah. I mean, these Class C and a couple Class B schools, and we know it's gonna be tough, but we feel that if we're able to win this tournament or make a deep run, that I mean we'll show people that we can compete in the bigger schools. Because this tournament would probably be harder than in Class D tournament. I mean, honestly, because I mean Madison, Winthrop's a Class C back to back state champion.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's gonna be tough. I mean, I feel we're hungry for it. We want to prove to people that we can do it.
Another thing that you had going on this season was this chase for 2,000, right? So obviously, you know, you have to score a bunch of points to get there with a shortened season. How do you balance trying to get yours? Because obviously, like, I'm guessing you even said, like, coming into high school, like, you wanted to score 1,000. You probably weren't thinking 2,000.
No.
Whenever 2,000 became realistic, like, I'm guessing that's something you really wanted to do. So how did you balance going out there and getting yours? Because you had to put up some serious buckets to get to 2,000 with a shortened season versus still playing in the flow of the game, still playing off your teammates. How'd you balance all that?
I didn't want to force any shots. I only took the shots that were good shots. And when my teammates were open, I gave them the ball. We played to win every game, to make winning plays. So I didn't want to force anything or take any stupid shots. You know, I mean, my teammates, they were great. They understood what I was trying to do. And they found me. I mean, they found me a lot of the times. But, yeah, I'm lucky to have great teammates.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I noticed when I was watching all the game tapes was, like, nothing, you didn't force anything. Like, everything was in the flow of the game.
Yeah.
Playing up your teammates, making the right pass, which was really cool to see. But one thing I got to ask you is, how many breakaway layups do you get every game? Because I did see a bunch of breakaway layups.
Oh, yeah.
You might lead the state in breakaway layups.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, we'll just credit that to good team defense, right? Like, you guys play great team defense, run the floor, run your lane.
Yeah.
Just credit
we try to push the tempo. So our defense, we play a 1-3-1. And the guy up front, he's constantly trying to pressure the ball. And that forces turnovers a lot of the time. And if they miss a shot, our big guy, Joey Pullen, he's always looking long. So I go long, and he gets me long a lot of times. He's got a lot of assists.
Being from a small school, small town, I'm sure you get all the time. People kind of discredit Class D. Oh, he plays at a Class D school. Oh, it's Class D hoops, stuff like that. I'm guessing you hear that, right? I'm guessing that's something that they're
oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
What do you say to all the folks there about Class D hoops? Because my thing is, it doesn't matter where you play at. Like, there's going to be good players. There's going to be good teams, right? And you can't help where you grow up and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
There's good basketball everywhere. What do you say to all the naysayers out there about Class D hoops, Class D this, Class D that? What can you say about Class D hoops?
I mean, it doesn't take skill to play defense. Some of these schools, these kids are athletic. So, I mean, they're great defenders. And the defense, they're always scheming. So, like, they can play these junk defenses that will target me or my brother. Just the good players in every team. So, it's always tough to score, and it's physical. And the refs don't call much sometimes, so we're always, like, scrapping on the floor. I mean, it gets physical. I mean, it's tough to score. I mean, it's tough to play Class D. People don't watch the game, so they just figure it's easy, you know?
My thing is this: 2,000 points is 2,000 points. I don't care where you play. That's
yeah.
you still got to put the ball in the hoop, and you're putting the ball in the hoop an awful lot. And it's like you said, you're playing against junk defenses every night, and you're the target
team
every night. Like, you're getting everyone's best shot, still getting 2,000 points, still putting up 40 plus. Will the 40-point average continue in the playoffs here? Can we count on that? Are we going to see some more 40 plus games come playoff time, or do you think teams are really going to gear up on you? Be in the playoffs and stuff like that. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm gonna play my hardest every game. I mean, if I need to score, I'm gonna score. But I have great teammates. Like, my brother Mason, he people aren't gonna be looking for him, I feel like, and he's gonna go off. But I mean, if I have to score, if it's a close game and I need some buckets, I'm gonna give it to him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Time will tell.
I mean, you got some capable teammates. Like I said, I watched a ton of tape, and then you got guys who can hit shots, who can make plays and stuff like that. So I'm excited for you. I think it's really cool that you guys get to play some bigger schools. Like, it's something that you would never normally get to do. So if you can't compete for a state championship, like, this is probably the next best thing to do to kind of go after the naysayers. It's like, hey, we may be Class D, but we're going to come beat some of these bigger schools, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's our whole mindset. That's our mindset. Prove people wrong.
You were also named a McDonald's All-State All-Star here last week, right? So I'm guessing that's got to be another goal that you set probably coming into high school.
Yeah. Just to be part of the McDonald's All-Star team, that was the goal. My mom was actually a McDonald's All-Star back in her day. So she was always telling me, like, oh, yeah, I got head up on you. I'm a McDonald's All-Star. She's like, you got to be McDonald's All-Star too. So that was definitely one of my goals. And yeah, it's awesome to be part of that team.
Only shitty thing is there's no game this year. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Taking that away.
I know. I was talking to some of the guys, like Ryan Crockett on the EB on my the team, DC South, and McGuire Sawyer. We're talking like, oh, yeah, we could beat the other side. Oh, yeah.
We're going to see if maybe Big Time Hoops can throw something together here once things die down and make something happen for the seniors here. Another thing, too, though, semifinalist for Mr. Basketball, right? So in the top 10, which is, I don't know, is that something you said as a goal coming to high school?
No. No, I didn't. No, it's crazy to be part of a group with those guys, top 10 in the state. It's crazy. Guys like Cash and Peyton Jones, Sawyer Dupree, like, it's crazy.
And I'm wondering, like, what do you think your chances are? Because it's a career award, so it's not just based on a senior year, but you look at your career, 2 state championships, 2,000 career points, probably could have won a third straight state championship this year. How do you feel the resume stacks? Do you think, like, you have a chance to be in that final three?
Oh, man, I think I have the best resume out of any of those guys. But it just comes down to, like, Class D, if people are going to, like, recognize the Class D, because, like you said, they count me out just because of where I play.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to come down to that, I feel. But I feel like I got a good chance to get there.
I think you'd be the first one since, I think, Garrett Beal was the last Class D guy.
Yeah. Would have been like, Mr. Basketball 2013, yeah.
So it's time. It's been almost a decade. It's time for another Class D Mr. Basketball.
I agree.
Looking beyond this year, what's the plan? You planning on playing in college? Like, have you got that situation figured out yet? I mean, I'm guessing it's got to be tough just trying to even pick a school, let alone if you're trying to go play basketball at school and stuff like that. So what are the plans beyond this year here?
I'm still trying to figure it out. I've met with a bunch of schools, and I've watched some games, just trying to figure out what the best fit is for me.
Any idea? Narrowed it down? Can you give us any hint, or is it still way too early to tell?
No, I've narrowed down to either Thomas, Farmington, or Maine Maritime Academy.
Some good schools right there.
Yeah. I mean, I can't go wrong either way, but I'm going to try to decide soon. Hopefully, next week or something like that, soon.
Okay. It's going to be a big couple weeks. We've got playoffs. Basketball coming up, maybe college decision. Just a whole for the month of March for you.
Yeah. It's a busy month, but I mean, I love it.
Yeah, and let me ask you this real quick. School, what's school been like for your senior year? I mean, I'm guessing it's definitely not what you planned or how you pictured your senior year of high school to go, but what are you guys doing? You guys doing remote learning? You guys doing in class? Like, what's it been like for you all year?
We're 100% in person.
Nice.
We only have 45 kids in high school, so we were able to make it work. So wear masks all the time, which is no big deal. I mean, we got used to that after the first week. Yeah, we're pretty much normal. Nothing's really changed. It's great. I mean,
you like that? You prefer being in class? Or you prefer being home?
I like to be in class. At home, I'm distracted. Yeah. You know, I got the shooting machine in the garage. Might as well shoot shots instead of going to class. You know?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I like being in school. I mean, where I live in Jackman, it's been perfect for these times, man. Like, we haven't really seen much of COVID. It's been great.
Yep. Well, that's one positive right there, at least in the crazy year that it's been for you. At least that's something that's worked out.
Yeah.
Before we get up out of here, I'm just going to hit on some random questions here, and we'll see what we can come up with. So you just got your 2,000 point. How did you score the 2,000 point? What kind of bucket was it?
So what happened was 36 seconds left. So I came down and I passed to my brother, and he was looking for me for the three. We all knew I needed three left, and he got me. I missed the first three, and it came back right at me. I caught it and I got it again and made it.
Then how about, do you remember how you scored your 1,000 point?
Yeah, it was a three-pointer as well, I believe. I missed a free throw. I could have scored on a free throw. I missed that free throw. And like next play down the court, I cut down the middle and came back through in the top of the key. And my teammate, Hunter Cuddy, another 1,000-point score, Forest Hills, he got me top of the key, and I hit it. Second game of the year last year.
How about, do you remember your first bucket? Do you remember your first career point? Oh, let me guess, three-pointer. I'm sensing a theme, three-pointer.
I don't think so. I think it was down in the island. It was Vinyl Haven, eighth grade year, Vinyl Haven. I was like super nervous. It was I think it was a 5 hour trip to get there. It was a four hour bus ride, and then we take a ferry to the island. So it was a long day, and we played back to back there. So like sleep at a hotel. It was crazy, but I think it was like a floater. I'm pretty sure it was a floater.
That was going to be my next question, is what's the longest bus trip you guys take? Because you're out there. Yeah. So pretty much any game is a road trip for you. But what's the furthest road trip you guys take on the schedule?
We used to do Vinyl Haven. That was 5 hours. But we play them now at KVCC. So we meet like halfway. But I mean, I think our furthest is Portland. I mean, that's not bad. We're used to it. Just take a nap on the bus, then you're there, you know?
Yeah.
It's not bad. We're used to it.
What's your favorite opposing gym to go into? What's the best one?
Oh, man. I gotta say Greenville. I like Greenville. They got a big court. Like the way we play fast, and we're trying to like run our other team till they're tired. And our gym's tiny, so we have a hard time doing that sometimes. But at Greenville, it's a big gym, and it's the rims are loose. It's nice.
You haven't lost too many games in high school because you've won a whole lot, but what's the most crushing defeat? What's the toughest loss that you remember? The one that you'll always remember from your high school days, since there wasn't too many of them.
Freshman year, we played Bingham at home, and we lost by like 2 points or 4 points or something. But I had like the worst game of my life. I had 3 points. They put a guy on me the entire time. I was 5'1", 5'2", you know, in that freshman year. So they put a guy on me like the entire game. And yeah, that was the game where I felt like I knew I needed to do something different. Like just 3-pointers wasn't going to cut it. So I got in the weight room and just tried to get more physical. And I came back my sophomore year and 3-pointers, layups, getting to the rack, mid-range, everything. So I'd say that game was tough. I mean, but it really helped me.
I was going to say, you dish out the physicality now. Like, I see you go to the hoop, and I see you dishing out pain whenever you go to the hoop now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I play big. I mean, in the off-season during COVID, we got a squat rack and a barbell for my birthday. So I was in my garage lifting weights every day, trying to get bigger.
This garage, it sounds like the best garage in the state right here. The shooting machines, quiet. Oh, yeah. What else do you need? Heated in the wintertime?
It's the place to be, man.
Yeah, it sounds like
awesome. It. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to play physical. I know at the next level, I got to get faster, stronger, because the speed of play is so much faster than high school. So I'm just trying to get my body ready for that.
We mentioned some of the rivalry teams that you guys kind of face in the schedule every year. The games you get jacked up for. Who were some of the players? Like, who did you love to match up with during your time? Like who were the guys you like to go at as a competitor during your time here at Forest Hills?
For I'd say probably the best player was Nick Foley from Greenville.
Yeah.
He I was eighth grade and freshman when we played them. He graduated a couple of years ago, but he brought that Greenville team, very good Greenville team, to states back to back, and they won it in 2018, I believe. But one of the best games ever was freshman year. against them in Jackman, and we beat them like by 10 points or something, like a crazy game. After they had gone to States the year before, and they were like predicting to go undefeated. They're like gonna sweep everybody, and we beat them. So I was like, that was crazy. It was a crazy game. I played great. Our whole team played great. But then a freshman year, 8 games in, I broke my foot. So that kind of ruined our season. I got hurt, and then our starting, I'd say small forward, I mean, one of our better players, he got hurt as well. So we were like 7-1 at that point. And then I got hurt, and just our season went to crap.
That was it. That was it right there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you out of here on this one. So we see it all the time in the NBA, friends teaming up, forming super teams, forming big threes, forming big twos. If you had to go somewhere and go team up with somebody, or you could bring someone to Forest Hills to form like the best duo in the state or the best big three, which way
Yeah.
would you go and who would it be?
Oh man, I gotta say, so we're kind of guard heavy. I mean, Mason and I, we're two guards. I'd say my guy Trevor Beals from Massabesic. I
Okay.
think he's one of the most underrated guys in the state. He can play big. He can dominate in the paint. He can shoot threes. Man, he's underrated. Trevor Beals, man.
Good answer. Good answer right there. Before we get up out of here, I always give my guests a chance to have the floor to clear the air and anything, to just say anything they want, any rumors they want to clear, any college letters of intent they want to sign or announce, commitments. Whatever you want. I'm gonna give you the last bit before we get up out of here.
I just gotta say I'm excited for the tournament coming up. Hopefully we can make a run against these bigger schools, and I'm excited to see what happens with Mr. Basketball.
Yeah.
That's gonna be exciting. The dunk contest and 3-point contest too.
Coming soon. Coming soon. I'm just waiting on people to send me the stuff so we can put it together. So there should be
Yeah.
some cool stuff coming up here. Were you snubbed? Should you have been in the 3-point shootout?
Yeah, I'm a little mad about that, to be honest, man. I think I should have been in that.
That's my bad. I hit a couple people and I said, give me some suggestions. Where should we go with this? And then afterwards, I was like, we probably should have got like some of the star power, some of the seeds. But it's all right. I'm gonna find some ways to get everyone involved. So basically, whoever wins this 3-point shootout, I'm just gonna send out the challenge. Like, hey. You got to beat the score. Send me you beating the score, and then we can crown an ultimate champion. So you still got a chance. Still got a chance.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Just go
That's
in the garage with the shooting machine, you know,
right. Get
do
some
it up.
shots up.
Get some
I'll
shots.
be ready. I'll be ready.
Shout out to the newest member of the 2000 Point Club, Parker Desjardins, for coming through on Big Time Hoops the podcast. I'm excited for the tournament. I'm excited to see how you guys do against some bigger schools and how that plays out. Also excited for Mr. Basketball and how that shakes out too. So
Yeah.
if you get Mr. Basketball, we're gonna have to have you back on here so we can talk to the Mr. Basketball as well as the newest member of the 2000 Point Club. Does that work for you?
Yeah,
There we
I'm up
go.
for it.
Parker Desjardins, ladies and gentlemen of Forest Hills on Big Time Hoops the podcast. Make sure you're checking out all the previous episodes wherever you get your podcasts on. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, it's everywhere. So check that out and rate the podcast too. Give me 5 stars. I got to get these ratings up. So let's do that. But we'll see you next
Awesome.
time with another big time episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast. See you.